Today, I want to talk about peace. More specifically, I want to talk about what it means to be peace, to be at peace, to experience peace, to know peace. The kind of peace that has the capacity to change your life. In fact, I want to invite you to be peace. Peace. It seems like such an elusive thing, doesn't it? Turn on the TV, pick up the newspaper, click onto your favorite news site, and what do you see? A mess, right? Anything but peace, right? Wars, strife, disease, dis-ease, as one of my professors used to call it. It's all around us. With ever-growing religious conflicts, ideological differences, competition, ambition, greed, jealousy, social, economic, and political differences, the word, if it is a word, that would best describe our world and probably our lives as well, might even be unpeace. My guess is that many people in our world have given up on the idea of peace as a pipe dream. And it might not just be out there. It might be right here, too. You might be struggling right now in this season of your life with unpeace. We are a mere 3 weeks from Christmas. And how many of you would say, I am so at peace? Shopping? Done. Presents wrapped? Done. Baking? Done. Finals? Done. Studying? Done. Projects at work? Done. Kids? Perfect. Parents? Awesome. Work? Never better. House? Immaculate. Dusting? Not a speck. Health? Tip top. Quiet time with God? Every day, 1 hour. Relationship with God? A 10. Let's be honest. How many of those did you say? Wrong. 2. If I could sit down with each one of you this morning and have a moment to just say, are you at peace? If you were honest, my guess is your first response would be, thank you. No. I am not at peace. As a matter of fact, the word unpeace might describe me better right now. Well, you're not alone. According to debate.org, when asked if peace was possible, 41% of the respondents said yes. Peace is possible, but another 59% said no. Peace is not possible. Wherever you stand on the issue, the Bible has something to say about peace, and it's summed up in what the angels sang at the birth of Jesus. We're told in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. That night there were in the shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people, all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. The scene crescendos. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Peace, announced according to the armies of heaven, is not a pipe dream or even an impossibility. Peace is a promise. It is a promise for those with whom God is pleased. You know who that is? Believers. People who know Jesus. We have an in. Peace is a possibility. It is more than a possibility. It is a promise for us as believers in Jesus. Imagine that, the promise of peace. Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth. Wouldn't that be spectacular? Well, according to the Bible, though, we need to understand what peace is not in order to understand what it is. So let me hit those quickly. According to the Bible, peace is not found in a place. We might have great vacation places, but that's not peace. Peace is not a tranquil feeling. Problem with feelings, they come and go. Peace is not dependent upon our circumstances. And peace is not the absence of trouble. Hang on to that. It is not the absence of trouble. Peace is not found in a drink, in a pill, or some other form of distraction. Peace is not found in an achievement, an accomplishment, or an accolade. Peace is not found in the right job, with the right degree, or even by letting Calgon take you away. I can tell how old some of you are. According to the Bible, peace is found in a person. And not just any person. This is what the Bible tells us about that person. God made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, the prophet Isaiah declared, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment, promise, the passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. The prophet didn't know it at the time, but the Savior with the titles, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, had a name. And his name is Jesus. Imagine that. Peace. It's not a place. It's not a feeling. It's not a circumstance. It's not the absence of trouble. Peace is Jesus. Peace has a name. It is a person. As a Prince of Peace, the climactic title of the four that were given by Isaiah, through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we discover that he is a peaceful king. We discover that he comes in peace, and he comes to establish peace. Peace is a person. He is a king. He comes in peace to establish peace. Real peace. Perfect peace. Lasting peace. A peace that is not a place or a time or an idea, but it's a person. Peace is Jesus. According to the Bible, this peace is a gift of God, from God. Notice how it's worded. This peace is a gift of God, from God. It is something that we receive with open hands and hearts touched by the love of God. When we come to faith in Jesus, when we trust in Jesus and receive the grace of Jesus, it is something that we share with others. Again, notice how I worded that. Peace is a gift of God, from God. In other words, peace is a gift of God's self. He has given us himself as the means of peace. Jesus said the night before he gave himself up and was crucified, "I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled." This begs the question, how? How do we receive this gift? How can we not be troubled given the tumultuous times in which we live? The Apostle Paul, the guy who is responsible for writing the majority of the New Testament in the Bible, penned these words. Therefore, since we have been made right with God, been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We have peace with God because of what Christ has done for us. My guess is that some of us might say, yeah, that's really good for you, Paul, but you have no idea what I have been or what I am going through right now. He didn't have a marriage in trouble. He's not divorced. He didn't live in fear every day of losing his job. He didn't have kids who were making bad choices. He didn't know what it was like to have more month than money. He never struggled with feelings of being good enough or smart enough or gifted enough. Now, while he might not have experienced everything that you and I have experienced or are experiencing, Paul had his share of troubles, his share of unpeace, so to speak. In fact, I would say that he had more than his share of troubles. Check out what we know about his life. He pens these words, "I know I sound like a madman. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm." I almost picture Paul going, "So there." Top that one. But in the midst of this trouble, in the midst of what you and I might describe as unpeace, he continues, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, 'I believed in God, so I spoke.' We know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. That is why we never give up." We never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. In the midst of this kind of trouble, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:4, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." Or in Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of the body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Peace is not in a place, It's not in circumstances. It's not an idea. It is not the absence of trouble. Peace is Jesus, who he is, what he's done, living in us. According to the Bible, peace is found in a person. Peace is a gift of God from God. And peace is also the fruit of a life fully surrendered to God. That's where we discover peace. Having a life in a harmonious relationship with God through Jesus. It's about living a life of obedience and submission where God reigns and rules in the lives of believers so that we can say, no matter what comes in our way, I have peace because my peace is not in this place. And notice the connection between following the commands of God and experiencing his peace. Isaiah wrote, "Oh, that you would have listened to my commands," speaking of God. "Then you would have peace flowing like a gentle river and righteousness flowing over you like waves in the sea." We're told in Galatians 5 that the Holy Spirit produces peace in our lives. It says that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And if you've been around here very long, you'll remember what I said. Fruit is singular. It means in Christ we have all of this. Then you would have peace. You'll have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit is evidence as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and as we become agents of reconciliation, as we allow the gift of peace to flow out of us. Letting the Spirit control your minds leads to life and peace. So according to the Bible, peace is found in a person. Peace is a gift of God, is God's self. Peace is a fruit of a life fully surrendered to God, and peace is also, it is a call to action. It is something that flows from us as an outward and visible expression of the work of God in us. It is the power and presence of the Holy Spirit living in us, moving in us, through us, with us, in spite of us. In Jesus' teaching called the Beatitudes, he says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. We are to work at living in peace with everyone. It's work, isn't it? Because some people that we work with, man, they just make it hard, don't they? We got to work at it. We got to work at living with peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. Peter tells us to search for peace. Work to maintain it. The Bible is clear on this additional point. The peace we work toward is not peace at any cost. Romans 12:18 says, do all that you can to live in peace with one another. With everyone, as our New Living Translation says. It doesn't say do anything to live in peace with everyone, because there are things that followers of Jesus cannot compromise on. That's a message for another day. So let's review. How do we be peace? We discover that peace is not a place, but peace is a person, Jesus. Peace is a gift of God from God. Peace is a gift which we receive and which we share. Peace is the fruit of a life fully surrendered to the reign and rule of God in our hearts. And peace is the call to action. So last week, I challenged you. I gave you this Advent challenge to say, be hope. Be a person who believes in the truth of God's word. Be a person who is in the world and is full of hope, knowing that, man, it might not be good here, but we fix our eyes on this reality that is so much better. And our world needs hope. I challenge you, be hope. Be hope in your workplaces. Be hope in your school. Be hope in your neighborhoods. Be hope. Well, let's ratchet it up a little bit more this week. I want to invite you to be peace, to literally be the presence of Jesus to the people around you. Say yes to Jesus by receiving him and allowing him to reign and rule in your heart. Say yes to cooperating with the Holy Spirit so that you might be peace in the places in which you find yourself. It's been said that peace with God is the starting place of peace with others. You want to have a better relationship with others? Work on your relationship with God. It will change your perspective. It will change how you see people. It will change how you live. It was great in our Bible study this morning at 9. One of our folks shared with me that her being in our church and being in this Bible study is changing how she's living. It's changing how she's interacting with people. I'm like, oh, it's good. That's what God does in our lives. The chief reason for the absence of peace among human beings, I am thoroughly convinced, is the absence of peace between God and human beings through sin. We are not at peace because we are not at peace with God. We work at being at peace with God. We're going to be at peace with others. So our calling is to be peace, thereby being agents of reconciliation and renewal and redemption in the lives of others. We become peace by making space for peace. You get that, right? By making space for Jesus, making space for peace in your life. Because apart from Jesus, there is no peace. There is no peace in our lives. There is no peace in our families. There is no peace in our communities, in our country. There is no peace in our world. I discovered this last week, that since 36 BC, there have been somewhere between 15,000 wars. That's an average. So before World War II, the world had an average of 2.61 wars every year. But since World War II, despite all of our enlightenment, technical advances, political correctness, organized efforts aimed at world peace and the like, there have been an average of 3 new wars every year. The New York Times once observed, peace is a fable. I have to give them credit. This is one place they got it right, in part. Because peace is not found through worldly efforts. They don't know the peace that we know. They don't know what God's word says about peace. That the only peace the world can know apart from Christ is shallow, unfulfilling, and at best temporary. Most people's pursuit of peace is only an attempt to get away from their problems. That's why so many people seek peace through drugs, alcohol, or some other form of escapism. The fact is, apart from the indwelling, powerful, living presence of Jesus, a person's life, there is not and never will be peace. So here's what I want to encourage you to do, starting right now, and continuing through the Advent season that we hope and pray will continue on into the new year. Anne Voskamp puts it great. She says, slow down to unwrap the greatest gift with your time. Taste the grace of now. Taste the grace of now. Slow down. Make space in your life for peace. Do what Philippians 4, 6 through 7 encourages. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And then, as you're doing that, and then, as 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. Isn't that incredible? Like, may the Lord of peace himself, Jesus, give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you. Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what our world is screaming for? Every great movement begins with one person. Every great movement within your organization, within your institution, within your family, within your neighborhood, within your community, it's going to begin with one person. What if it could begin with you? Being peace, being the physical presence of Jesus where you find yourself, making space in your world for peace, so that you would have it at all times and in every situation. Anybody else want that? In all times. It's our promise as believers. Peace. Let's pray. God, I know it because I have experienced it this week. And I know that my friends, my church family, we have all experienced it this week. And it's that place of unpeace. It is that place of chaos. It is that place where the pace of life is too busy. It is things just messed up and wrecked up. And God, we just feel overwhelmed. But your word encourages us to just come to you. Come to you to experience, to receive peace. Not as the world gives, but as you give. That you have given us yourself peace in the flesh so that we might be peace. Father, I pray. I pray for us as we continue to move throughout our week and as we continue to move towards Christmas, where we will celebrate you coming down out of heaven and down to be with us, to live for us and to die for us, so that we might experience peace, not just today, but forever and ever and ever. And so God, I pray that you would surround us with that peace, that you would equip us to be peace, that we would be peace by making space for peace in our world. And that in doing so, the world might be changed as a result of you working in us and with us and through us. So God, help us. Help us to be peace. We need you. We need you. Would you come?